I said it last week, and I think I'll say it again, man. I am looking for a fight. I want to pick a fight this morning. And for some, I'm going to say what I said last Sunday also. For some of you, that might be you. And I don't do this deliberately. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you, make you feel like, make you feel guilty or any of that, because that's not my intention. I want you to tell you this morning, everything that I'm going to talk about today, I want you to understand this one thing. If you leave here and you don't hear another word from me all morning long, is that everything I'm fixing to tell you and everything we're going to talk about this morning, I want to do it in love. I think, man, that that the church has kind of gotten jacked up because we want to speak the truth, but we want to water it down so much that we don't understand what God's really saying to the church. And I believe, man, it's time for the church to become dangerous again. I mean, it was so dangerous back in that day. The government and the principalities were so worried about them that they had people killed and executed because they were in such fear of what. Matter of fact, when Jesus came on the scene, the biggest threat for, matter of fact, when he was a baby, he wasn't even an adult yet, that a decree went out throughout all the world in Judea, Jerusalem, and all that to have all the firstborn babies killed because Jesus is dangerous. The ideology, theology, whatever you want to call it, man, when you grab a hold of how much Jesus Christ loves you and has a plan and a purpose for your life is going to be rattled so much it's going to be dangerous. Last week we started this out and we talked about it. How many of y'all were here last Sunday? If you were not here last Sunday, oh my goodness, man, it was different, to say the least, praise God. We had the Holy Spirit move and he did something. Man, it was praise God. I seen God move, and I'm still hearing people talk about what he did. And I think God wants to do that. You know, I think that should be every day in the life of a believer. Amen. I really do. I think when the Holy Spirit begins to move and you begin to understand that it's not something we have to be afraid of, it's not something we got to go, oh, that's weird, because God's not weird anyways, right? When you understand the whole message of what God wants to do in you, not just as a church, but in you, it'll transform the way you look at God. It'll transform the way you look at the Holy Spirit. But see, the reason why we are hesitant about letting God kind of come into our hearts is the very topic we're going to talk about this morning. It's the very topic, man, that is going to... I was trying to figure out a way to demonstrate this, and there's just not really a way to do it because it's so big. We sang that song, Eye of the Tiger, man. And I was asking myself, do I have that ferocious focus? I love the part of the song where he says that the eye of the tiger is focused on its prey. It's focused on where it's going. It's focused. Have you ever seen that, like on, what is it, Animal Kingdom or National Geographic, you know, and they show the Bengal tigers or the panthers or whatever, man, and they're looking at their prey. Can't nothing shake them. It's like, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I'm not worried about everything around. I'm just looking. And I believe that's what God wants to put in our life, this ferocious focus, that we're focused on the person, not only the person of who Jesus is and the person of the Holy Spirit, but he wants to put us focused in the person who God wants us to be, the life that God wants us to live. Because it's gotten blurry. Distractions and crazy things have happened. The word dangerous is a word, it's actually an adjective. It means full of danger or risk. Causing danger or perilous, risky, hazardous, unsafe. How many of y'all know that as a church, man, I think churches today are playing it safe. We're playing it safe. You know why? And I'll be a pastor first to admit it. You know why we're playing it safe? We want numbers. Churches want numbers, man. We want people. So you can't talk about sin. You can't talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't talk about letting God move and just letting God be God in our life, because that's very risky. That's risky to giving. That's risky to bringing people into the church. People don't want to hear that stuff. Make me feel good. Pat me on the back. Tell me I need to straighten up a little bit and read a good book. I'll be fine with that. But don't get into my dirty laundry. Don't talk about the things that I've packed down inside my heart and inside my life for so many years. Don't get into that stuff. Because when you get in that stuff, I'm going to get uncomfortable and I'm going to leave your church. And I'm going to go find that church that will whisper good stuff in my ear, pat me on the back, tell me to read a good book, and I'll be fine. And we miss that. God wants to do something tremendous in each and every one of our lives. The whole epic life experience is finding that life that God has called you to live. I told you guys last week, and I still mean this, I wish I could take myself and turn it inside out and let you see what God has done in my life when I've realized that God wants complete control. And when he takes complete control, everything that you have wrestled with, everything that you have fought with for all your life falls off. It falls away, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what it's like. I don't know if I shared this with you last Sunday. I'm going to share it again, even if I did. So it doesn't matter. Robin and I were at Walmart the Monday prior or after a huge encounter with the Lord that I've had. And I'm pushing, and I've told some of you all this story. I think I've shared this with you. And can I come down there? Is that okay? Praise God, be different. All right. So I'm pushing this little cart, you know, at Walmart. I don't know if this is the way I was walking, but pretty cool anyways. All right. Maybe that's why I felt weird. All right. So I'm, hey. So anyways, cameras are watching me, anything. Anyhow. So I'm walking through Walmart and I'm looking at people and I look at Rob and I said, man, this is so weird. How many of y'all have seen that movie with, what's his name? Braveheart guy, Mel Gibson. Somebody knows that story. I told somebody already. Y'all, the Mel Gibson story where he could hear the thoughts of the ladies, the girls. Y'all, what a woman wants, is that it? What women want. Is that right? Okay. All right, now I didn't have that experience, okay? So, woo! That was going to take a long breath. How do you get back from that, huh? Praise God. But in that experience, man, everywhere he went, when he looked upon a female, he could hear or understand her thoughts and what she was going through. One of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me just a couple of weeks ago, Rob and I were walking through Walmart, and I'm just looking at people. And as I'm looking at people, I don't see just general people like we do every day. I see their hurt. I see their pain. I see the struggles that they're wrestling with. And some of you probably right now are sitting back going, you are tripping, dude. Whatever you have, pass it over here. The bottom line is, man, I begin to see people, I think, the way Daddy wants all of us to begin to see people through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is ruling our life and he is in control and we can empty ourselves of everything, everything, our view looks differently. It is so cool. And to try to explain it and put it in paper, man, it's just almost nearly impossible. But I think I can understand what Jesus was saying when he said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But that's a whole other message. All right, so turn to your Bibles. 1 John chapter 3. Open it there. Hold it. Flip on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Put a marker in that and then go back to 1 John chapter 3. We are going to talk this morning about becoming a dangerous church. And that dangerous church, first, before we can even go into the message, I've got to point something out to you. Proverbs 14 and 12, look at what this passage says. Powerful passage. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man. And every one of us have been in this passage of Scripture in some time in our life. We think we know what God wants for us. We think we know. And so we try to do it in our way as a man. And appears straight before him. The path looks right. The path looks straight. And we think we're on that path until people start digging into your life. But at the end of it, it is the way of death. That's not a physical death we're referring to here in the Scriptures. I'm talking about a spiritual death. An eternal separation from our Father. Some of us in here, and I almost believe this. Now, I know I can't prove this doctrinally. Please flow with me in what I'm about to say. I believe there are people that are in this room right now. I believe there are people in the church right now. Say right now. So like right now, right? They are living a separated life from Jesus Christ. They know him as Savior. Got their ticket punched and everything. Click, I'm good to go. Got burn insurance. Praise God. Okay? But there are people that are so separated from the Father that if you heard the Father's voice, if you heard the voice of your daddy, you wouldn't recognize it. Because you're walking in a way that seems right unto you. You're walking in a way that seems straight. And God says, no, you're missing it. We're missing it, church. We're missing the life that Daddy has for us. And it's not a life full of guilt and condemnation and all that garbage. It's not. It hurts at first because when we begin to open up our hearts and let Daddy inside there, he's going to pull out some stuff that we got to find some healing for. He's got to fill up that space that's in our hearts. But we got to be able to open up. That's why this morning's message is called, we're talking about love and a dangerous church, but I even titled it more, and I want to title it Risky Love. Risky Love. Because when we open up ourselves to Daddy and say, you know what, I want what you have, then a risky love is involved. Because see, a risky love requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us men to kind of go lay down the machoism and the pride for just a moment and say, you know what, I ain't got it all together. My father hurt me. His father before hurt him. And so when I look at God and you tell me that God loves me, I have a problem with that because you don't know the daddy that I had here on this earth. See, we view our spiritual father, our spiritual daddy, through the eyes of our physical daddy. I don't care who you are. That's how we look at our spiritual daddy. And what we have to do to change that focus is we have to open up this heart and have heart surgery and let daddy come in and begin to deal and pick at those scars that we think are calloused over and that we're good, we're safe. Same thing with you ladies. Ladies, you don't get out of this either because you've been hurt by your physical daddy or you've seen someone that had been hurt by their physical daddy. And because of that, your viewpoint of daddy could be extremely twisted. You don't realize that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our God loves you, but it is a risky love because risk requires us to be vulnerable enough to open up our hearts to daddy and say, you know what? I don't know what you plan on doing in me or doing for me. This is about doing things God's way and not our own way. Our way cannot be God's way. Our ways cannot be God's way because if it were God's way, it means a total overhaul. Somebody asked me what it was like on the spiritual journey I went on. I'll just call it an event. This event that happened in my life, they asked me to describe it to them. I was talking with a guy, so I knew he would probably get this. And ladies, you will probably get this too. I said, it's like a big, heavy Chevy, big block 357 motor. That's a Chevy, right? I'm not a mechanic, so if I make an error, just correct me, okay? You won't hurt my feelings. Big block 357 Chevy motor that wasn't running very good. It was running. You put it in a car. Is that the right? Now, y'all laughing at me because is that the right motor, 357? Yeah. Talk to me later, right? We'll correct you later, brother. All right, so anyways, it's like all the heads have been pulled out, all the pistons, everything's been reboard or recalibrated, put back together, and put back in the vehicle that it belongs in. It's amazing. It runs quick, runs fast. You hear everything ride. Everything's functioning the way it's supposed to function. It's amazing. When we decide to go God's way and not our way, see, our way, though it seems straight, though it seems right, because that's the way everybody else is doing it, the way everybody else thinks, God's way doesn't go our way. Matter of fact, you can go to Isaiah 55. This is not even in the passage or in your notes, but Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking to his nation of Israel. Why? Because we've got to open up our heart and let God transform us into the men and women that he called us to be. See, God is love. Now, I know a lot of people have heard that before, but if we truly experience the love of the gospel, if we truly experience the love of God in our life, this love that will completely rock your world. It'll rock your theology. It'll rock what you believe. Somebody asked me last night, you know, can you explain to me what happened? No, I cannot. All I know is this, he really loves me. I'm going to show you how I know that here in a minute as we go on. If we understand this love, let me ask you a question. What compels you this morning? What compels you every Sunday to come to church? What compels you to come here today? What has compelled you to come here last week? What compels you this morning to come in here? Is it because you love God? Or it's because that's just what we do on Sunday morning. It's what we do. So-and-so's going to be there. Going to build my business up. Going to do this. Got to make that connection. Got to make that. I have nothing else to do today. It's raining. Couldn't go fishing. Can't go hunting. I had to come to church. What compels you to worship? Let me go a little bit deeper. What compels you that when the music is up here, that your viewpoint changes from a performance going, oh man, they did really good. Did you hear that note that she hit? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. That compels you to move from an attitude of performance to an attitude of worship. Understanding who Daddy is and what he has done in and through you and what he wants to do in your life. A transition, something happens, a paradigm shift happens in your mind and in your spirit that completely compels you. When you understand the love of the Father for you, your view completely changes. It's like your eyes are opened. It's like, who was it that was in the book of Acts when Paul, who was thought he knew the way and thought he had the straight path. Y'all remember this story? On the road to Damascus, he thinks he's doing the will of God. And he's on the way to Damascus to incarcerate Christians, to lock these boys up for their belief in Christ. And on the way, he has an encounter, and he realizes the love of the Father. And he says, which is interesting, you can go back and study this for yourself in the book of Acts. He says, Lord, who are you? Wow. How many of us have said the same thing? Lord, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And Jesus replies to him. He says, I'm the one you're persecuting. And he has a road to Emmaus experience. And his life is transformed. He sees Jesus, the one he's been persecuting for all of this time. He physically sees him. The people that are around him, the Bible says they could see him talking, but they fell down as paralyzed men. They couldn't move because the Holy Spirit's presence was so powerful. They could see everything going around, but they couldn't see God himself. But yet Jesus is having this conversation with Paul, and his heart is transformed. And then he tells him to go to this house, and he goes to the house, and this man lays hands on him. And the Bible says when the hands are laid upon him, it says like dead scales or scales fell from his eyes. And for the first time, Paul could see. I believe there are some people in our church today that need to have that experience. They got scales on their eyes because you look at Christianity as a religion or as a thing that you just do on Sunday and not the love that the Father has for you. Romans 5:5 says, watch this. It says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, say the love of God, have been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You have the love of the Father. The problem is you don't know how to tap into this love because you've got so much junk. We have so much junk. Let me even put it in a better way. We have so many wounds in our heart. We've been wounded by so many people, so many jobs, so many marriages, so many whatever, broken relationships, whatever, mom, dad, whatever. We've been wounded so many times and we become so calloused that it buries that love deep, 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 deep beneath us. What we want to do, and I think the epic journey, the epic life, is bringing that love outside. That you can experience what real love looks like. Tangible. Can feel it. Can see it in other people. When you look at a couple and you sit there and you can see the love of God flowing through their life, it's amazing to see you guys. Thank you. Praise God. You get to see it. You know it's not a game that they're doing, that they want something, because you can sense the Spirit of God flowing in and through them. It's amazing. I'm here to pick a fight with mediocrity, the normal. That's just the way we do it. I want to take a close look this morning and see the need to become like him in this world. Jesus was able to love unconditionally. Jesus was able to love people unconditionally. Jesus never required anything of us. Even if you go through the scriptures in the Bible, you look at the way Jesus loved people, he never required anything. The only people that usually require something were ones that thought that they had that straight path figured out. Those were the ones that he usually kind of went kind of pretty tough on. But the people that were truly seeking him, he never required things from them. He allowed them to come into them. He allowed them to be forgiven. The woman, the prostitute, just got caught in the act of adultery. He looks at her and goes, where's your accusers at? Go. Don't sin no more. Change your mind. Repent. That's love. That's love. And God has the same love for us. We talked about this last week. Jesus could not do anything other than what the Father told him to do. Remember, we talked about that. And that's the way Jesus lived his life, only in accordance with his Father. He even tells us that. He says, I do nothing but what my Father tells me to do. Jesus was the ultimate example of living a righteous life here on this earth. And it wasn't done through religion. It was done through relationship. Whose relationship? Not just Jesus' relationship with people, but it was Jesus' relationship with the Father. That's what the real relationship was about. And that's a real relationship that God wants to have with us. But we look at it as a set of rules. Okay, check, 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 done. I'm good to go. And then we think, man, what I can do is I can just get this and I'll just cover this up real good and no one can see inside here. The problem with it is, man, that love produces. Love produces fruit, but so does fear. Fear produces fruit. Scars and hurts and habits and hang-ups produce fruit also. So you might be able to try to cover it up and shove it down, further down, and deeper and deeper, deeper inside your heart. But eventually, that garbage is going to come back up because you don't want to deal with it. God says, man, if you'll just let it come up, let me have it, and watch what love does to it. Whether it's a hurt, whether it's a habit, or whether it's a hang-up. The cool thing about Jesus, what I love about Jesus Christ, is that he was so empty of the world but so filled with his daddy. That's the difference. That's the difference, church, is that when you empty yourself of this world, and that doesn't mean you can't, I know you cannot like escape the world and like, you know, we're going to have a convent, we'll call it, no, we're not, we're never going to go there, praise God. We don't need that rumor started. All right. But you can empty yourself up of yourself. Get rid of your thoughts, your desires. One of the things that I do that I practice as a believer, and even more so now, is I ask Daddy, clear my mind of anything that's interrupting you. Amen. I want to hear you. Amen. And then do what it says to do. Because we'll wander real quick. Remember we talked about last week, the three people that get saved, right? Or the, don't make me do that again. I could, praise God. All right. Jesus was completely empty of the human nature, but he was human. But the desires and the temptations and all that junk he still faced, but because he emptied himself of him and filled himself with the Father, we know this how? By his baptism. What happened at his baptism? Remember when he went to John? He talked to John. What happened? Huh? He came up new. But not only that, what was flying around him? Jesus setting the perfect example for us. The Holy Spirit. Then God speaks, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He was completely emptied and filled with Daddy. Some of us are trying to live a Christian walk in the flesh. We talked about that last week. 1 John 3:1-2, watch this. This is a great book. If you ever want to know about the book of love, a lot of people believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I like that chapter, it's good. But I think the Bible or the book of love is 1 John. You can unpack so much stuff out of the book of 1 John if you really want to understand the love God has for his people. So in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, see what an incredible quality of love, this is the Amplified, the Father has given, shown, and bestowed upon you. You want to see what love looks like? That we should be permitted to be named and called and counted children. Children. Of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, or acknowledge us is that it doesn't know, recognize, or acknowledge him. Beloved, we are. Say we are. Even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear what we shall be hereafter, but we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like him. For we shall see him just as he really is. What he's saying there is, we really haven't got a clue yet of what Daddy's going to look like and what we're going to look like. That's almost an awesome statement, is that we don't even know. We don't even know what Daddy has for us. But we will. But we will, because there are hints, breadcrumbs, if you will, of how we can live that life here and now. Dangerous church is a church willing to empty itself of itself. that God's love would flow out of them. So natural. Be like God. Love like God. Love like God. Well, Mike, I can't do that. I'm human. Yes, you can. I'm going to prove that today. As long as we carry our baggage, we will not be able to love the way our Father wants us to love others through us. Hurts, offenses, unforgiveness, bound up as we are, not able to freely give, not able to freely love. The problem of what we do in church, this is what we church, and I wish I could have done this in a way. I tried to think of a way to describe it. I'm going to try to do it in words. If I jack it up, talk to me later. We'll figure it out. All right, but here, we come to church, and we do our little, we kind of get our car checked, fire insurance, whatever you want to call it, right? And then what we try to do is rather than let Daddy in and begin to deal with issues in our life, begin to deal and identify who we really are. Yeah, God makes us new, but there's still, remember we talked about it, that soul man. Remember that soul? How old was that soul? Where's that soul at? There he is right there. How old was that soul? 46-something years old, whatever, 47, 48, almost 50, praise God. All right, so we knew the soul was quite old, right? Well, we know the born-again man is a baby in Christ. But the soul, yet, it's got hurts. It's got habits. It's got hang-ups. And you can't live the spiritual life outside that, inside that soul. So what has to happen? What we do, because we're really good at it. We're really good at it. We begin to take our hurt, our habits, our hang-ups, all the junk and funk from our life. We come to church. We get an emotional experience, or sometimes it is a spiritual experience. But what do? We learn how to camouflage it. We learn how to camouflage that baby and make it look like it's supposed to look. All happy and everything's good to go. My life is perfect. I got everything together. But we haven't dealt with those issues that soul man has been carrying around for 40 plus years. And then when Daddy comes in to do something powerful in our life, we want to kick it out because it doesn't, if I let it in, it's going to uncamouflage what's really inside that heart, which could be maybe, anger, maybe some resentment, maybe some bitterness, maybe unforgiveness, all the above, everything that we stuff down in there, and then we try to camouflage our baggage so that everybody looks at our bag and go, oh, you got baggage like mine. Oh, that's all. You got baggage like mine too. That's awesome. Yay. I don't know where the heck that came from, praise God. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We camouflage this junk. And then we come into church thinking we're the only ones that are addicted to pornography, that we're the only ones that are lusting after our coworker, that we're the only ones that don't understand the Bible, because ours is camouflage. And man, I'm wrestling with this, but everybody else's camouflage looks so much better. My marriage, woohoo! My marriage is perfect, and yet it's falling apart because I've learned how to camouflage it. See, the love of the Father begins to pour down inside us, and we open up our heart, and what he does, he begins to get scalpel. Let's cut that baby open. To find freedom and to be a dangerous church, we've got to be willing to open up our heart to Daddy and say, look, I don't know how to love like you want me to, because I've got garbage in here that needs to be pulled out of me. I've got to find healing. And Daddy says, it's about time. Now we can walk around and be honest and realize, look, I don't have it all together. But the love of the Father comes in, he goes, you don't have to have it all together. I can operate on you. I can work in your life. I can move in your life. I can wash this stuff and make it new. But you got to quit stuffing it down in there and trying to camouflage it and make it into something that it's not. We're hiding it. That was not in the notes, by the way. Praise God. 1 John 4, 7 through 12 says this. It says, beloved, talking to the church. Anytime you see that word beloved, that's John talking to the church. Let us love one another, for love is, it springs from God. And the one who loves his fellow men, is begotten, born of God. He says, look, if we're walking in this true, if we say we love God, if we say that God is ours and we have this relationship with him, then let us love like he does. Is begotten of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. talked to a brother this morning. I was just making fun of him. I'll come back to this in a second. And he said, man, I have a hard time understanding the Word of God. You shouldn't have an misunderstanding of understanding this. You know why? The Father lives in you. The author of this book dwells in your life. If Jesus is the Lord of our lives, the very Spirit that spoke this into existence dwells now inside your heart. The new man is born. You do have a knowledge. The Bible says, man, that we have what's scripture that I quote? Praise God. It'll come. Hang on. It's coming. It's that we have the mind of Christ and we know all things. So when men come to me and they say, I can't understand this, then I got to wonder, wait a minute, does the Spirit dwell in you? Then you do. Or maybe you bought into a lie that you've tried to camouflage. He says, well, I can't understand it because, well, I didn't go to cemetery school and I didn't go to this and I didn't go to that. Baloney. You have the same Spirit of God dwelling within you. That Spirit that created this is in you. And it says that we progressively become more and more and more like God. If we are not becoming progressively more and more like God, then you have to stop in your life and go look in the mirror and be honest with that person that you see and go, why am I not becoming more like him? Don't preach. Don't slap me down when I'm preaching good, praise God. I know this is hard. I told you it was going to be. There's good news in this. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. You cannot tell me, brothers and sisters, beloved in Christ, you cannot tell me that you love God and you hate your brother and sister, or you have an problem, an attitude, well, you just don't know what they did. I don't care. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. You are like your daddy. One way or another, you're going to be like your daddy. The Bible says, though, because with the love of the God has been shed abroad in our heart, we now become acquainted with him more and more and more. And he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. God's very nature of who he is love. He is that. The church has been lied to. The church has been lied to by these churches that are coming on board and saying, you know what? Just be whoever you are. It's okay that you're wrestling with this addiction. Come to church on Sunday, make yourself feel better and go on about it. But we don't know that. Man, is the love of the Father dwelling out of our hearts? Do we love people with compassion? Willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to introduce them to our Savior? In this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed. You want to see where it was displayed? Where we are concerned? In that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. Do not tell me you love God and you hate your brother or your sister. Do not tell me you love God and you see your brother and sister struggling and you don't reach out for them. You slam the door on them. You refuse to forgive them. You refuse to embrace them and grab them and love on them. Don't tell me that. You're not going to get that junk to me, man. Come on, man. I was born at night, but praise God, it wasn't last night. I ain't the brightest or sharpest tool in the shed, but man, I can understand this. I can understand this. We're called to love. You know why the church isn't dangerous? Right here. Because we sit here and say, we love Jesus over here. And we go out there in the world and we talk about the church. We talk about how bad they are. We talk about our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We talk about how they did this and how they did that. And we want to give our people, the people that Jesus Christ died for, that we claim that we're a part of, and we want to talk bad about them. And we can't understand why the church looks at, or the world looks at us and just laughs at us. And we're not dangerous. The enemy's not afraid of us. We're not willing to risk real love. Open that up and let God have heart surgery on us. Man, y'all getting something from this morning? All right. Let's go to that first point. I know that thing that goes on and on. Let's go ahead and go to that first point. Free people, free people. You can tweet that. I give you permission. Praise God. That's Facebook worthy. Free people, free people. The reason why the church is not dangerous is we ain't freeing nobody. We're putting them back in bondage. We're trying to tie them back up because they don't sing the song that we sing, or they don't read the scripture like we read, or they don't do this, or they don't do that, or they act like this, or they act like that. Free people, free people. When you understand the freedom that God has for you and the freedom God wants for you, and you open up your heart and you expose all the dirty baggage that you're carrying around and you let daddy in there and you become free, holy cow. Church, I promise you, I believe it is daddy's purpose. I believe it's daddy's will for everybody in this building to go to Walmart and look at people through a different lens. I really believe that. I don't think it's for Mike. I am nobody special. I promise you that. I graduated with an awesome D average in high school. I am not a smart person. Okay? I love what daddy's word says, though. He took the foolish things of men. How you doing? To confound the wise. Daddy wants to use each and every one of you that are in this building to express his love. But because you're not free, you can't free people. Because the opposite of that is hurt people, hurt people. Think about it. All of us have been stuck up with some generational garbage in our hearts. I have. My daddy, my grandfather was addicted to pornography, a womanizer. I thought my dad was free from it. Oh yeah, I'm airing out my laundry. No, it's already aired out, praise Jesus. Listen to me. I thought my dad was free from it. I couldn't understand why I struggled so bad as a young man with pornography and all of this garbage until my dad had passed away. And I'm in his bedroom. We're going through his safe. My dad was a photographer, by the way, professional. Took some of the most beautiful pictures I'd ever seen in my life. And I opened up that safe. And inside that safe, I found pictures of women that I knew that my dad had dated. Pornography. Nude pictures of these ladies. It shattered my world of knowing what. I was like, oh my gosh. And the deeper I hunted my life and the more I looked into my life, the more I realized it wasn't just a Mike issue. It was a dad issue. It was a granddad issue. It was a great granddad issue. I tell you this because we all got baggage. Somebody's got to stop it. I made a decision in my life that from my generation on, they are going to change. I'm going to let the love of the Father come in and dissect this garbage in my heart that's been holding me in bondage. It's been holding the Scan clan in bondage for I don't know how long, how far back that goes. Be free from the generational curses. Be free from that garbage that tries to bind us up. Free people, free people. You see it every day in marriages where there's an abuser in the relationship. They break off, and generally, the woman, unfortunately, ends up going right back into a relationship just like it. Hurt people, hurt people. People that have issues with unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, that's how they live their life, and they do the same thing unto other people. That does it to another person. That does it to another person. Somewhere in this world and in this madness, church, we've got to stop. We've got to start be dangerous again. And say, you know what? I'm not going to let that be a part of my life. I've been loved by a Father who sent my brother, the firstborn of many, unto this earth to die in my place. That if I open up my heart to him, he'll come in and he'll sup with me, he'll eat with me, he'll take away all of this baggage that's in my heart and in my life and transform me and make me into the man or woman he called me to be. That's the vision of Epic Life. That's why it's so important that we grab a hold of this. Mike, you seem a little passionate about this. I am. Matthew 10, 7 and 8 says this. It says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leopards, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Free people, free people. Why can I say this? What time is it? All right, Daddy. Why can I say this? Because I am free. Now, Somebody called me last night, and I'm not doing this to bring that person up, so I'm not even going to mention their name. Whether that was a he or she, it doesn't matter. But it was interesting in the conversation that we had. The person asked me, she said, I'm sorry if I offended you. And I started laughing immediately. What are you laughing about? They said. I said, you can't offend me. What do you mean I can't offend you? I'm free. There ain't nothing no one in this room can say or do to Mikey to offend him. It's freedom. I'm not hurt if you don't like this message. There are 40 other churches in Terrell. Love you. There's the door. I'm going to teach what Daddy told me to teach. I'm going to preach what Daddy told me to preach. And if you like it, praise God, get free. If you don't, there's the door. Amen. I'm not saying that to be egotistical or be arrogant. I understand what God wants to do. For the first time in 45 years of my life, I realize what real freedom looks like. You cannot offend me. As Jesus said, I'm not of this planet, man. I'm just stopping in. I'm coasting through this baby, man. I'm an ambassador of Christ. This world is not my home. For the first time in this many 45 years, dude, I finally get it, what freedom really looks like, what it feels like. That's what God wants for us. Free people, free people. Romans 8:15, for you did not, say did not, you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For all of you who are wondering why I keep calling my daddy, that word right there, Abba, is an affectionate word meaning daddy or papa. That's the actual Strong's definition of it. Go look it up. Don't shake your head. No, go home and look at it. That's what it means. Abba is an affectionate term in Hebrew, meaning, or Greek, which means daddy or papa. That's the relationship that I have with him. The reason most people can't call God daddy or papa or even father, because they look at God as this stern, universal spiritual joy killer with a baseball bat waiting for you to jack your life up again. That's not the daddy I serve. The daddy I serve is love. He loves us so much, so passionately he loves you. I said this last week and some of you all missed it, man. Daddy is passionately pursuing you. Passionately pursuing you. He's pursuing you, Steve, and you, Caleb, and you, Nikki, Bob. He's pursuing you, Crystal. He's pursuing us with passion. All the way back to Genesis, man, we see God pursuing his people. I used this example last week, but I'm going to use it again because I think someone needs to hear it. In the book of Genesis, we see the first passionate pursuit of our daddy. And I didn't get this until just recently after I realized he was pursuing me. And in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve kind of jacked things up for all of us. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. High five, right? All of us got jacked up because of Adam and Eve, right? And God is God. He knows all. He sees all. You can't hide anything from him. Like, I'm going to hide my sin from God. Okay, yeah. Let me know how that works out for you. But in the midst of that, he knows where Adam and Eve is, and yet he cries out, Adam, Adam, where are you? Now, let me ask you a question. Knowing God like we know God, do you think he was actually wondering where Adam was? He is God. I mean, he kind of knows everything, right? And I said this last week, I believe God wasn't asking Adam his location. I think Adam was being asked what his position was. Just like some of you are being asked right now. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Where are you? God could have done that from heaven and spoke down to Adam and Eve and just looked at them like, I see you. Got the fig trees out. I see what you're doing. But he didn't. He walked into the garden looking for Adam and Eve. He pursued them. And he pursues you. He's pursuing you passionately. So much so that he laid his own son down. He said, whomsoever believeth upon him shall not perish but have eternal life. Daddy's in pursuit of you. Why? He wants to get inside your heart. He wants to get in your business. Praise God. My son and I, this one right here, we had a great conversation about that years and years ago. And I think God says that sometimes to us. And I'm going to share that story. You mind if I share that story? Yeah, good. Praise God. Your dad. Are you going to stop me from sharing that story? So he was younger and in his mid-teenage years. I think he was a junior or senior in high school. And I had gotten a call while I was at work by either the coach or principal and wanted to know where Caleb was. I'm like, what do you mean where Caleb is? Caleb was supposed to be doing this stuff. No, he hadn't been here. So finally, after doing some homework and doing some research, I found out that Caleb was supposed to be in what they call ISS, which is when you don't do your homework, you go to ISS, and you only have to stay in there long enough to do your homework, and then you get to get out of ISS. And so Caleb, my wonderful boy, comes home, and one of the first questions I always ask my kids, two questions really, one was, did you clean your room, right? And the second question was, do you have any homework? And each time my boys, being my boys, would always say, we're good, Dad, everything's covered. I'm like, praise God, right on, dude. And so he's in ISS for not doing his homework. So he comes home that evening, and I'm at the house, and Robin and I have already talked, and we got a game plan. You know, Mom and Dad, we tackle, you know, get to the game plan. And he comes in and real laid back, like, room clean? Yes, sir. Like, cool. Got any homework? No, sir. Oh, boy. So I get up, man, and I kind of confront him, you know, and said, man, that ain't what I heard. I said, I heard, you know, you've been in ISS for the last 3 or 4 days over the same homework assignment. You ain't been taking care of your business. What's up? I loved my son's response. I think we say the same thing to God. He looks at me, I mean, just as bold as he can. You know, dads, you've all been here. We've got teenage boys, all right? If you're not, praise Jesus, all right? But he gets right in front of my grill, and he goes, what you doing in my business? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I started to do. I started laughing. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I looked at him with as much love and grace as I could muster. And I said, brother, I said, you make your business my business when you don't take care of your business. Now, I wonder for a moment how many times we've said that to Daddy. But here's the difference between the relationship I have with my son and the relationship we have with our daddy is Daddy wants to get into our business. And we've camouflaged it so well. We've colored it a different color and called it a different thing for so long. We think God is out to punish us when God's actually trying to heal us. He's trying to redeem us back. Because of this world and the filthiness of this world, we're so corroded with mythologies that are false. When Daddy's standing there right at the door and he's just knocking, Bob, he's knocking at your door. And we're afraid to open it because if we open it, my gosh, what will people think of me? Daddy says, man, open it up. Let me have access into your heart. Let me show you what real love looks like. Let me demonstrate real love to you. I'm going to read one final scripture, and we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. This is what real love looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go ahead and skip down there, fellas. 4 through 8. This is our checklist to really look at. And do me a favor. When you're reading this, stop reading. Stop reading. Everybody stop. Man, getting ahead of me. Don't look at this through the eyes of your flesh. For just a moment, shut that flesh off for a second. Stop trying to rate yourself. Don't use this as a rating system. Look in your heart of hearts and ask the question, do I endure long? Am I impatient? Do I seem to go off on the cuff? Am I kind? Do I show true kindness to people? Or am I only out to get something from them? And that's when I show it. That's when I demonstrate it. Am I envious? Do I envy other people and what they have and what they do, their house, their car, their marriage, their family? Do I boil over with jealousy? Am I jealous of others? Maybe relationships that someone has around you and you're jealous of that relationship. Am I boastful? Am I proud? Am I arrogant? Am I vainglorious? Do I display myself as haughty or am I a humbled person? Do I walk with humility? When someone needs to correct me, are they willing to come up and correct me? Or are they afraid, man, it's going to be an issue? Can they walk up and you'll humble yourself? I say, man, I didn't know I was doing that. I apologize. I'm so sorry. Am I conceited? Am I arrogant and inflated with pride? Am I rude? Do I act unbecomingly? See, God's love in us, it doesn't insist on its own rights or its own way. For it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Do you understand why I can tell you this day that I'm not offended? Because I let Daddy's love flow through me. I don't rejoice, or do we rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness? But we rejoice when right and truth prevail. See, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. There's nothing you can say or nothing you can do to make that wipe out. Real God-like love. See, prophecies, the spiritual acts that we do in our church, we are a non-denominational, full gospel church. We believe in the charismatic gifts. We believe in the fivefold ministry. The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. We believe in that in our church. We believe in all the gifts. We don't believe the gifts went away with. But here's a cue for us as a church that if we're operating in these things, it says that prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, it will be fulfilled and pass away. And even those that are filled with the Holy Spirit and can speak in other tongues, that's great. That's awesome. They'll be destroyed and they'll cease. And as for knowledge, it's going to pass away. It'll lose its value and be superseded by the truth. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. It never quits. It never stops. It's more powerful than even the spiritual gifts that we are as a church. If we're going to become a church, we've got to be willing to risk love. Willing to open up ourselves to God and to say, Daddy, clean me up. Something in my heart, something in my life is preventing me from believing in this kind of love. We've got to deal with it, church. Here's the cool thing, man. God offers, man, he offers grace. If the worship team gets ready to come, God offers grace to you. If you got baggage, he says, my grace is sufficient. If you got junk in your life, his grace will make you new again. It will wash you clean again. See, as I said last week, we are leaky people. We leak. You can experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can experience this new, fresh anointing of God in your life. But don't leave it there. It's an ongoing thing. I told you last week, I said, every morning I wake up and I ask, Daddy, fill me. I want all of you. I want everything you have. Part of that means that I have to be risky. I have to be willing to open up my heart if I've offended a brother and call them up on the phone and say, man, I'm sorry, I missed it. I said things that I probably shouldn't have said to you. I talked behind your back and I shouldn't have talked behind your back. Or maybe call up my mom or my dad, and I wish I could today. And say, you know something, man, I wasn't the greatest kid in the world. And I said things and I did things that probably I shouldn't have done. And I became angry because of things that maybe you have done into me. And I've harbored that anger. And because I'm harboring that anger, it is controlling me and I'm not being controlled by the Spirit. That's how easy it is. God's grace is available to all of us, regardless of what you went through, regardless of what you've done. His grace is available. God's desire is to be filled, us, our beings to be completely filled with him. He wants to fill us with his presence.